All right, if you have your Bibles, grab them. If not, we'll have the scripture up on the screen. Grab your Bible app or whatever you use. We are in a sermon series called Rock Solid, and it's based upon the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is this greatest sermon that was ever preached, and we get the opportunity to try to preach it. It's a sermon that Jesus preached while he was gathered together. He said, it talks about he had this large group of people, and they came up on the mountainside, and he began to preach to them. And he begins to share with them all these different things in their lives. He talks about what we call the Beatitudes, the blessed, what it is to be blessed. And he talks about what's to be salt and light. He talks about how to deal with anger, you know, don't hold anger in your heart. He talks about what some wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture on lust, divorce, and oaths. And I got to preach that. Thank you, Jesus. And then last week we heard about turning the other cheek and loving your enemy. And we'll continue with the other things today. But at the end of the sermon, at the end of the sermon that Jesus preached, he gives a choice. And he gives this example, and he says, if you hear my teaching, if you listen and hear my teaching, and you put it into practice, you'll be like a wise man who's built his house, his life, on a solid foundation, a rock. And when the storms of life, the wind and the rain, the storms of life that come, how many know storms of life come? When storms of life come, you're able to withstand the storms because you're built upon God's word. But if you hear his words and you don't put them into practice, you're like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand, and the storms of life come, and your life will fall because you didn't put your life upon the word of God. And so we have a choice, and that's why we're calling this, we're rock solid. We're gonna put our lives, our attention upon Jesus Christ. Our lives are based upon the Word of God. And so one of the challenges that we are doing as a church, and I hope you've been doing this, we are memorizing the Beatitudes, right? How many forgot? So did I until this week. It's like, oh yeah, memorize the bad. So we memorized the first four Beatitudes, and I'm going to give you a break today. We're going to just, they're up here on the screen, we'll say them together. Let's just say this together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And so we are endeavoring through this sermon series to memorize the eight Beatitudes. The next one is this one here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So next week, no cheat sheet. We're going to say it together. Can we do it?
Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4. And this is the beginning of what Jesus talks about. He has three when you do's, not when you do, when you do, three when you do's, and he talks about three different things: when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. So these are things that are expected of us who are Christians, who are believers. These are things, spiritual disciplines that we put into our life. Good habits, right? There's good habits and there are bad habits, right? Bad habits are easy to start and hard to quit. Good habits are hard to start and easy to quit. And so these are good habits. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And so he says, when you do these things, and then he'll contrast them in each one of these, as he's talking about, he says, don't be like the hypocrites. When you do it, don't be like the hypocrites. And he talks about the hypocrites do it for their own satisfaction, to get glory from man and not the reward from God. And so he starts out with this umbrella statement, and this umbrella statement for all of these is in Matthew 6, verse 1. It says this, beware of practicing your righteousness. What we're talking about, the righteousness here is giving, praying, and fasting. These are the three that he's going to be focusing in on. Before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So practicing your righteousness or your good deeds in case giving, praying, and fasting, be careful not to do that before man to receive reward or glory from man, but do them, and we'll see, in secret, for your Father will reward you. And what he's talking about here is your motive behind why you're doing these things. Motive. Motive is important. Motive behind why you give, motive behind why you pray, motive behind why you fast. So remember that word, motive. Everybody say motive.
Motive.
All right, half of you are good. So now, right away, today we're going to talk about when you give. And so right away, if you're new to church, if you come into church and you're new and you're just exploring church and so forth, and you hear, like today's your first Sunday here, or you're watching online, and you hear the pastor, today we're going to talk about giving. I mean, it's like, I knew it. All the church wants is your money. All they do is talk about money and giving. I knew it. Well, hold off there, just for a minute. Jesus talks about money. And he talks about money more than he talks about heaven, more than he talks about hell, more he talks about a lot of different things. He talks about money. In fact, in this sermon, if I were to give Jesus some lessons on sermon points, I wouldn't do what he is doing here. You know, me giving Jesus lessons on sermon points. Because he talks about money, then he talks about prayer, then he talks about fasting, then he comes back and talks about money again. And so Jesus talks about money, and it's an important thing for us to talk about money. The church needs to talk about money in the church. And so if you say, well, I just don't want to hear that, Dane. I just don't want to talk about money or hear about money. So if you have a problem, let me give you my email address. It's jimcrackcorn@idontcare.com. You can email me there, and be free to do that. So we're going to look at the motive behind giving. The motive behind giving is this in Matthew 6, verse 2 through 4. This is when he talks about the when you give. He says this, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So let's talk about what he's saying here. He says, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. So what is Jesus talking about there? There are two possibilities that he's talking about, what scholars believe was happening in the day of Jesus when they came into the temple and gave. And it was probably, Jesus was referring to both of these, not just one of these. One of those was when a Pharisee would come into a crowded street and he had alms to give to the people in need, or he would come into the synagogue, he would have somebody blow a trumpet to gather the people around to say that, hey, it's time for me to give you money, time for us, the church or whatever, to give you money. It's kind of like a dinner bell ringing. Hey, dinner is ready. Ding, 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 ding. And everybody comes rather coming around, you know. And so that is kind of the idea. Is Pharisees often would do that in the streets and in the synagogue. The other thing is they had these giving boxes. We have giving boxes. But they had these giving boxes that were kind of shaped like a horn. There was round on top and narrower on the bottom. And in those days, obviously, they didn't have folding money. They didn't have, giving online. They didn't have, you know, Venmo me the money. They didn't have any of that. They had coins. And so oftentimes, people who had a lot of coins, like you went and got your penny jar, and you poured it in. He says, I'm going to go to the giving box. And they just kind of pour it in really slow. You know, and it's kind of like you ever been to the bank and they're pouring in the money to get change from. Anybody ever been to a bank and they pour it in real slow to get the attention? You know, get the, I am giving here. And it was this loud noise that was coming through. And so many scholars believe that Jesus is referring to the trumpet, either one of those things. And he says, don't do that. Don't do that. Because that's your reward. That's your reward. You got the praise from men. Good for you. That's your reward. But he says this, when you give, don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing. So when you're giving, may it be done in secret. The Father who sees in secret will reward you. I hate reward programs. You know, hey, have you signed up for my reward program? No, I signed up for coming in to get the item I bought. I don't really, you know. But what a great reward program. How many want to be on Jesus' reward program? I mean, that is, sign up today. You know, just give us your phone number, email, social security number, your mother's maiden name. And so Jesus is talking about here is what you do in secret is this theme throughout the whole thing. What you do in secret, God's going to reward you. Don't seek the praise of man. God's going to reward you when you give, when you pray, when you fast. And again, when you give again, God is going to reward you. And so how he's going to do that? Well, that's a great question. I think there's three motives behind our giving. So if you're taking notes, motive number one is this. The reason why you give for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 sums it up. It says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do all for the glory of God. Everything you do is for the glory of God. Everything you do is for the glory of God. All that we do is for the glory of God, especially in our giving. And how you give to the glory of God, and this comes in with this word tithe. Tithe, again, when you bring up the word tithe, a lot of people have disagreements on tithe, whether you should tithe. That's an Old Testament idea. That's not a New Testament idea. Actually, tithe predates the law, so it's not really a law idea. And Jesus also affirms the tithe. You know how Jesus gets on the Pharisees all the time? He calls them snakes. He calls them hypocrites. He does all this stuff. The only time that Jesus commends the Pharisees is when they tithe. He says, you do good when you tithe, is what Jesus tells them. And so Jesus talks about the tithe. He mentions the tithe. And so here's the idea of what I think with people have a problem with the tithe is they're trying to work it out so they can keep more money. You know, do I really give? And I think that's really the motive behind it. But a tithe is this. It means a tenth. But here's what I also think it means. It means the first and the best. The first and the best. And how we glorify God in our giving is giving him our first and our best. God deserves the first. God does not deserve leftovers. He does not deserve leftovers. My poor son, Connor, he works swing shift, and he works like 3 to midnight, and so he misses out on dinner. And so we make dinner, and we always put leftovers in the fridge that he has to come home. And he comes home at about like 12:30 at night and throws the leftovers in the microwave, and Connor gets leftovers. But God does not. Right, Connor? He's right back there. He's helping out. The Bible says that without faith, the Bible says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the only way, hear me on this, the only way we can please God in our giving is to give by faith. And to give by faith is to give God our first and our best. There are a couple of reasons we give God our first and best. One is that God is first. God is first. We list the priorities in our lives. He's the page we list the priorities on. Wow. He is first. God is first. The other reason is he loved us first. Even though we were yet sinners, God loved us. He loved us first. He went after us first. And then he sent first. He went first. He gave us his own son for us. So God gave us first. He is first. He loved first, and he sent first. And so God is, by giving first and best, you're saying to God, God, I am trusting you. I don't know where the rest of the money's going to come in. I don't understand how this all will work out, but I'm going to give you my first and my best. In the Old Testament, it was, you remember in the Old Testament, if you read, it says God wants the first little lamb that comes out, you know, and you have the sheep and they give birth to a lamb. You're not guaranteed that sheep is going to produce another lamb. You're not guaranteed that at all. And so you give that first and the best to God. You don't wait until the sheep has, okay, there's about five or six. I'm going to pick that one right there and give it to God. You give the first and the best to God. That's giving by faith. Faith is how we please God and give God glory. You see, you give your tithe, 10% is an act of faith because it glorifies God. So I think in everything in our lives, we give something first and best. Everything in our lives. Something gets our first and best. It could be our home, it could be our car, it could be our job, it could be our relationships. Something gets our first and best. God's saying, I want the first and best. And by doing that, I'm going to bless you. And you say, well, Dane, are you saying that I'm going to have to rearrange my life and rearrange my budget, rearrange things so that God has everything, priority of everything in my life? Ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yes. Jesus is Lord of all. Lord of all. And so you give him your first and best. It's an act of faith, of worship to God. It's a glorifying to God. Motive number two is this. You give for the advancement of the kingdom. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's this, Paul's writing this letter, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he brings up giving, and he's talking about giving. And he mentions a church that had already given. And that name of that church is called the Macedonian Church. And he's mentioning this church because this Macedonian church well, let me just read it, how he describes the Macedonian Church in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. It'll be up on the screen. It says this: We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in, listen, severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of this their one accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. They gave themselves first to who? The Lord. And then to us. But look at the description of this church. Verse 2. For in their severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy. How can tests of affliction lead to abundance of joy? And out of their extreme poverty, overflowed with a wealth of generosity. That is just an amazing thing, a description of this church. Why? Because their motive was for the advancement of the kingdom of God. First, for the glory of God. First, they gave to God. And then for the advancement of the kingdom of God. They want to give to the missionary Paul for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And they wanted to do it for the blessing of others, because it says that they wanted to bless others who were in need. Here's a church that is in extreme poverty, severe affliction, and say, oh, there's somebody in need, let me help them. This is just an amazing thing. The motive of our heart should be for the advancement of the kingdom of God, to bring his glory to the nations. I think there's a spectrum of giving. This is not a scientific spectrum. This is just something I came up with. But a spectrum of giving. Two on the spectrum, there's two bad motives behind giving. There's no negative, and two good. It's up there on the screen, you can see. Let me explain each one. On the bad end, the very bad end, greed. Greed says this, forget you, God, I got this, it's mine. Here's the problem with greed. No one thinks they're greedy. No one says, man, I am really greedy. They just say, well, I just like nice stuff. Here's what greed is. Let me give you an example. When my kids were younger, we would go to McDonald's and go through the drive-thru, and I'd buy them the kids' meal and the fries. There's something about McDonald's fries. By the way, side note, praise God, In-N-Out Burger is coming to Logan, Utah. May God's blessing be upon whoever made that decision. We've been fasting and praying, and now we can cut our fast, right? That is just amazing. Thank you, Jesus. But here's the thing about greed. So I buy my kids some fries and stuff, and they're back in the backseat eating fries, and I'm like, man, those fries smell good. Hey, I'm going to pick on Connor again. Hey, Connor, can I have some fries? No, it's mine. What? No, it's mine. I just bought you those fries and gave them to you. And I just want a fry. No, it's mine. That's greed. And that's how a lot of people view giving. No, it's mine. Who gave you that? Well, I worked hard for it. Who gave you the ability to work hard for it? Who allowed you to do that? Who gave you the wisdom? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the knowledge? Who gave you that? No, it's mine. That's greed. The second position on the spectrum is, and it's still in the bad category, it's not as bad as greed, is you ever heard of this word just lately? Quid pro quo? Getting something for something, a favor for a favor. This is saying to God, hey, God, I will give you my tithe if you will do this for me. I'm right here in this situation. I have this bad situation. I will start tithing if you get me out of this situation. Or if you provide this for me, I will give you my tithe. The problem with this is not scriptural. And the problem with it also, it puts you at the center, not God. And so that's a quid pro quo. It's putting you at the center of giving, not God. Now, on the right side, this is positive. It's not all the way positive. Is ROI, return on investment. And the difference of ROI and quid pro quo is this, is return on investment is this, is you're sitting in a service just like this, and you hear a story like the Smalleys, the missionary stories. You hear what God's doing in and around the world. The kingdom of God is being blessed and moving around the world. And the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to give to that. It's a good investment to give in. It's a good motive to give in. It's like, oh, I want to give to the kingdom of God. I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. Or a part of a mission ministry here at the church or a ministry that you hear of. It says, no, I'm going to give to that. It's a good investment. It's a good side, but it's not the best. The best is Christ is my reward. Doesn't matter. I just give because Christ is it. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about He is my heart. He is my reward. And when I get Him. And I'm giving Him. That's it. Christ is the reward. He is worth it all. And so we give to the advancement of the kingdom. The Macedonian church got this. They gave out of their affliction. They had joy in the poverty they gave. And then motive number three, give to the need of others. The passage in Matthew 6, Jesus talking about almsgiving. When you give to those who are in need, that's almsgiving, right? And the Macedonia church is looking to give to the needs of others. Paul's encouraging the Corinthian church, look what this church is doing. They're giving to the needs of others and so forth. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. He says this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, So having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And so in verse 8, he tells us, when we give to those who need, we'll find that God graciously provides for our own need. When we give to the needs, God graciously provides for our own needs. And the example of this is himself, right? And what he told in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he says this to the church, take in the weary, provide for the sojourner, meet the needs of others, fight for the welfare and justice of others, provide for those who are hungry, provide for those who are in need. He did this himself, right? Were we not hungry for righteousness? Were we not hungry for truth? Were we not hungry for him? Were we not dead in our sins? Were we not trapped in the sins of our lives, in the miry clay of our lives? Who gave to rescue us from that? He did. He gave himself and took upon himself our sins, upon our hurts, our pains, upon himself. He went to the cross for us. He gave himself for us. That's what he did. He set the example. He gave all so we could have all. We have him. We have him. And he's saying, okay, I gave you my life. I want you to give your life to others. Loving God, loving others. Give to those who are in need. There are people who are hurting and dying in this world who do not know Jesus Christ. And the Bible is real, and it tells us that there is a judgment that is coming. There's a judgment that is coming. And people are dying and going to eternity lost. And we're okay with our lattes. And I don't want to be, you know, like this guilt-driven thing. But what I want to talk about is God gave him his life for us. We are to give our lives towards others. Whether that's a financial need of somebody you're hurting, but more importantly, giving the gospel to people. You could give them $5 but not share Christ. You just gave them $5. Give the gospel to people that Jesus is the way, the truth, life. No one could come to the Father except through Jesus. That's how and why we should give. A lot of times it happens through our finances. A lot of times it happens when we give financially. Because we live in a world that runs on money. I don't know if you knew that or not. Let me tell you real quick this story that happened last Christmas. Last Christmas there was somebody in our church, and I won't tell you their name. Somebody in our church gave a substantial amount of money and says, I want you to use this to bless whoever is in need. And so we as a staff, like, woohoo, this is awesome. And so we sat down and we prayed, Holy Spirit, guide us, lead us. And so we broke up that money in different things. We gave some, I think around $500, I think, some $250, and some $100. I think the $500 we gave to families, $250 we gave to a couple, and the $100 we gave to single people. I think it was about 10 or 12 people in the congregation that we gave. And I watched one person in particular who received that money. They didn't ask for it. They received the money. And I've seen over the last now 10 months, God just move in their life in a mighty way. Where they were kind of on the fence about this thing. They were just kind of like, It slowly, not just because they received the money, but they saw the love of God work in their lives through others. And their life began to move and change and just growth within them. And then I saw the person who gave, what God began to do in their life. How God began to bless them with some health things where they were struggling with some health issues, serious health issues. But doctor report after doctor report was a good report. That God was beginning to bless in their lives. God began to work in their lives. I was thinking of this week. He probably doesn't even think, well, this is a result of me giving that money back in December. I don't think that comes across his mind at all. I just think it's just the way God works. the way God moves when we give sacrificially in love. And I wrote my sermon here earlier this week and went about the other activities. And I'm sitting in the sound booth this week, and I'm putting in my sermon notes in the slides. And Thursday, Debbie comes in and says, "You won't believe this." And she shows me a check for $3,500. And it says, "Give to whoever's in need during Thanksgiving." And it's not the same person. It's a different person. And I thought, we get to do this again. This is awesome. This is an amazing thing. And so here's what I want. Help us. If you are in need during the Thanksgiving, Christmas time, let us know. If you know of a family that's in need, a family that could use help during this time, let us know. So we have those welcome cards in the chairs in front of you, right? Write on it. Say, "Hey, this is, I need," and give us your name and number so we can reach out to you. Or, "They need," and give us their name and number so we can reach out to them. And just put it in the offering boxes, and we'll gather them. And help us to bless others through what God gave the church. This is just an amazing thing. Verse 6 says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I love how Paul kind of wraps this up with what he talks about in to the Corinthians church in verses 10 through 12. He says this: "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Verse 11, look at this. "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God for the ministry of the service. It's not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. Give for the glory of God. Give for the advancement of the kingdom. Give for the need of others. And as you do, may God enrich you in every way so that you may be generous in every way." Would you stand with me? Father, thank you so much that you have blessed each one of us. Some you have blessed financially. Some you've blessed with their talents. Some you've blessed with resources. May we use our money, our talents, our resources for the glory of God, because it's all yours. Open our eyes to those who are in need, that we may help them. Help them see you first, and help them with their physical, emotional, material need at this time. May we be people who are generous because you've been generous with us. May we be people who love others because you loved us. We thank you for your blessing and your Holy Spirit that guides us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go, we have some action questions, action points for you. They're right here. You can take a picture of them. Closing questions are this: are you giving your first and best to the Lord? If not, what steps can you begin to make today? Question number 2, does your giving reflect the advancement of the gospel here and around the world? And number 3, is there someone that you can bless this week in your giving? God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.